think many times in our life we don't understand that God has something greater for us. And we always settle for mediocrity when God desires the very best. Amen? And his very best is that he made it very clear in his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. In other words, that's paramount to every believer's life, is that we would seek the kingdom first and then his righteousness. And that's his right living in our life, that we'd be rightly related to the Lord and what he has for us. Now, you're going to be excited today, because this is my annual stewardship sermon. Now, I saw some excitement come all over the place you're seeing. But you know, you got to give the whole counsel of God. Amen? I'm not apologizing for it. I want to make that very clear, because it's part of the counsel of God. But here's our problem when it comes to stewardship. We don't understand what that entails. We don't understand what it really means. A steward in biblical times was someone who owned nothing, absolutely nothing. They took care of their master's house, possessions, everything he had. He was responsible for taking care of his master's things. That's where we get that word steward from. And that idea comes from two different Greek words. It's the word oikos, which means house, and the word nemos or nemo, which means to arrange. In other words, a steward is someone who owns nothing but is responsible for arranging the house, for keeping things in order. Now, by the way, we believe this is the house of the Lord. Amen? And we're responsible for keeping the house in order. And every one of us, not just a few, do you realize that the numbers out there say, and I don't look, by the way, I want to make this very clear up front, I don't look at what each and every person gives at Lane Prairie Baptist Church. Okay? I don't look at your gifts. Probably if I did, it would change the way I'd minister. Because at about 2 in the morning when you call me, and you wasn't giving very much, I'd say, well, I hope and pray everything turns out good. Now, you say, that sounds silly, Brother Jerry. Well, humanly speaking, it could happen. Now, I pray it wouldn't happen, but see, since I don't know, I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning anyway, and I show up there. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what a pastor does. By the way, there's a difference between a preacher and a pastor. And if you want a preacher, there's a lot of preachers out there. But if you really want a staff full of pastors, you'll find them at Lane Prairie Baptist Church. Because we will be there for you at 2 in the morning, if it takes that, or early in the morning for a surgery, or late in the afternoon for a surgery. Whatever it takes, we'll be there to minister to you. We'll be able there to help you. And boy, I could write a book on things that God has allowed us to be a part of, the people who go through so many different things. Now, what's challenging for us as a church, we have adopted a budget this year that we met last year already. Okay? And yeah, that ought to be praise the Lord. We're one of the few churches. Do you realize last year we were $5,000 in the red when it came to missions? And by the way, you want to be $5,000 in the red. That means that you have taken more in than the church budgeted. And if you take in more than the church budgeted, then all of that percentage still goes to missions. And God honors that. He honors us when we give to missions. Our church has increased missions for every year that we've been here. Every year. Now, we didn't increase the percentage sometimes, but I want you to know because of we raised the budget, it increased missions. And God uses that. I got to get my water. Excuse me. I had treatment on Thursday, and it was a very unusual treatment, so I'm hanging in here with some water. By the way, I've got an extra bottle of water in case I need it today. Aren't y'all excited about that? Boy, I can tell y'all excited about that. But you know, think about it just a minute, folks. Doesn't the Bible speak about that? My Bible says in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. That means that everything belongs to God. He created it for His glory. He created it for His purposes and plans. Everything we have belongs to God. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift cometh from above. Any gift that you have, anything that you have that God's given you, you ought to say, thank you, God, for the gift you've given me. The gift of life, the gift of eternal life, the gift of a vehicle that runs. Now, all of us have been there. Have you ever been in a place where your vehicle did not run? Okay. I've been there. I don't know about you. I'm thankful that I have a vehicle that runs. But see, stewardship involves more than just money, though. That's what I want to get to today. I want to get to the fact that stewardship involves our time. Think about it. Think every one of us in this room have 168 hours a week. 168. Every one of us has the same amount of time. How do we use that time? It's amazing to me how many people say to me, well, Brother Jerry, I just don't have time. But then they're given cowboy football tickets on the 50-yard line on the second row. It's amazing how they can make time for that. Or the Rangers, or for the ladies, to the knitting class, or something, I don't know what it is. I'm not sure. Oh, for a shopping spree of $500. How many ladies would show up for that? Free shopping spree? The word free, did you get that? Free? Last Sunday we had free lunch. We had more people here last Sunday than we have this Sunday. Because it was free. But I want to tell you what. It involves much more than just money. It involves our time. It involves our talents. It involves our possessions. It involves our very lives, folks. Listen to me. You know what God's concerned about? He's concerned about you. Because He knows something. If He can get you, He can get everything else. Amen? He's looking for you. He's looking for men and women and boys and girls and young people who will sell their life out to Him. That's the reason He turned around one day in Luke 9:23, and He says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, you don't take up a cross to carry. You take a cross to die upon. You got to die every day to your desires. That's the reason the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live not, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Boy, we need to understand that. But you know what? Our stewardship reflects where we are spiritually. Hello? You can learn a person's commitment by looking at their checkbook, their calendar, and their lives. What's really important to them? Stewardship. People, I found they're in one of three places when it comes to stewardship. First of all, they're uninformed. They do not know the principles of stewardship. They're uninformed. Remember several times the Apostle Paul, he introduces things, he says, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. And he tells them something he wants them to be informed about. I don't want you to be uninformed, and I don't want you to be uninformed this morning. You shouldn't be in that category. You should be informed because the scripture clearly states what we're to be doing in stewardship. Secondly, you have not studied the word of God related to stewardship. You say, well, I don't want to study that. I might be convicted to do something. Lord, help us. Or you're in the third place where I find some people. You're willfully living in rebellion. You know the truth about stewardship, and you don't care. One of three places. Every person here today, you're uninformed. You haven't studied it to understand what stewardship is, or you're in willful rebellion against God. I want to talk this morning about God's plan of economy. God's plan of economy. Do you realize that when God created the world, he created it to give? Do you notice that? What did the trees do? They gave. What did the plants do? They gave. What do animals do? They gave. Everything was created to give. You see that word give, give, give. And then the enemy shows up. We call him the devil in the form of a serpent, a snake. And you remember what he says? He says to Eve in that temptation, he says, surely God did not say what he meant. You need to get more. You need to get of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Surely God didn't mean that when he said, you're to eat of all the trees except that tree. And guess what entered in? Sin entered in. Not only did sin enter in, a new word entered in, and that's the word get. And we have a philosophy in the world today. It's this: get all you can all you get, sit on the lid, and poison the rest. I want that to sink in just a minute. We live in a very egotistical world, do we not? Everybody's concerned about me, 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 me. I've got to get more. I've got to get more. I've got to get more. I want to let you know a secret today. Things will not bring you happiness. They will not. You say, well, I sure would like to try it sometime. But they won't. By the way, the Bible says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What do you treasure? By the way, the Bible does not teach that we cannot have possessions. One of the men that was very rich in the Bible, his name was Job. Do you remember Job? But God ended up taking everything away from him, allowed everything to be taken away from him. Because the devil said to God, you have a hedge around Job. I can't get in. God says, you're right. I do. He says, well, I'm going to tell you what. I believe if you take that hedge down, he'll curse God and die. He said, no, he won't. So he let the hedge down. And guess what? Even though his wife said, curse God and die, he did not do that. He said, though they slay me, I still will trust him. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a statement of faith. Look at Abraham. Abraham had much, folks. Look at Solomon. Extremely wealthy. Okay? The Bible says money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that, does it? It says the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. You remember what Achan did? In Joshua 7, he took of the accursed thing. He took that which belonged to God. To that point, let's get this, church. That point, every victory they had won victory after victory after victory. They had taken the city of Jericho, which on the city of Jericho, you could have chariot races three wide on that city of Jericho. That's how wide the walls were. That's how great they were. But yet, the walls do not fall out. They do not fall in. They fall down flat. Why? Because they followed God's plan. Marched around one time a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, seven times, they shouted praise to God. And guess who brought the walls down? God did. He's still bringing walls down today. But Achan took of the thing. God said, you can have Jericho, but you can't have any of the spoils of the victory. You know, several times they were able to have the spoils of the victory. God said, you can have Jericho, but you can't have anything in it. And Achan forgot who gave him everything. And he took a Babylonian garment, a wedge of gold, and a little bit of silver. And then, you know what he did? He buried it in his tent, thinking he could hide it from God. By the way, you can't hide from God. If you're trying that trick, it isn't working. God knows. Achan took the accursed thing. And by the way, the children of Israel had won every battle up to that point, and then they lost against the men of Ai. This is just a small little group of people. Plus, also, they said, we don't need to send all the men up. Joshua, let's just send up a few. It'll be enough. They didn't listen to God's plan. They followed their plan, and guess what? They got defeated. 36 Israelites lost their life because they didn't obey God. How about Delilah? Delilah betrayed Samson for money. Judas sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. By the way, let's don't be shaking our head on that one. There's a lot of people in the church sell out Jesus for a whole lot less than 30 pieces of silver. Hello? They do. They say, I don't know the man. Say, I've never said that, Brother Jerry. We say it with the way we live our lives, folks. We say, I don't know the man. How about Ananias and Sapphira? Acts 5. They sold a piece of property. And you know what was happening back in that time. They said they sold so that they may help the needy in the congregation. They sold a piece of property, and they came in, and they would give a tithe from that property. Is that your tithe, Achan? Is that your tithe, excuse me, Ananias? Oh, yeah, that's the tithe from the piece of property. I'm sure he didn't want to look up on that one. Amen. He lied against the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The Bible says he fell down dead right there on the spot. Sapphira, his wife, came in, didn't know. Is that what y'all sold it for? Oh, absolutely. That's what we sold it for. Dead on the spot. Now, by the way, if on Sunday morning everybody would die that weren't given a tithe to God, we wouldn't have enough ambulances in Johnson County. And I'm not being facetious there, but I'm being saying, you're lying against the Holy Spirit if you say, hey, this is how much I make, and this is what I've given to God. May I tell you something? You can never outgive God. And I'm not talking about just finances. I'm talking about your time, your very life. You can't outgive God. Loving money gets into our eyes. 1 John chapter 2 says, that the love of the flesh and the love of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the lust of things. Remember what Jesus said? Give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down and measured together shall be given to you. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to the book of Malachi this morning. Malachi. Now, if you have trouble finding that, that's right before you get to the New Testament. It's the last book of the Old Testament. I know some of you are saying, boy, I wish I hadn't come on this Sunday. But I want to tell you what, this is the whole counsel of God. If I, as a pastor, preached on everything except that, what kind of pastor would I be? You know what? God's wanted to bless you. And I'm not one of those preachers, don't misunderstand me today. I'm not one of those preachers that say, name it, claim it. If you'll give $100 in the offering plate today, God's going to give you $300 sometime this week. I don't say that. Here's what I say. I say, if you're faithful to give what God has led you to give, God will bless you with that which you have need of this week. Hear me. In other words, you might not need money. You might need encouragement. You might need a job. You might need something else in your life that God wants to bless you with. You might need your family to be sewn back together again. Whatever it is, you be faithful and God will be faithful to you. Do you believe that this morning? I believe it with all my heart. The book of Malachi is written because this was the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. God's people had turned against him. And boy, they were saying, I love God, but they didn't love God. Literally, you know, they were supposed to bring a sacrifice to God, an animal. You know what they were bringing? They were bringing their blind billy goat. They weren't bringing their best. They were bringing their last. They're saying, well, this is all, you know, I don't want to bring my best. I mean, I've got my best animal out here. Why would I want to bring that to God? I can give him this one over here. It'll be good enough. I want you to know your second or third or fourth best is not good enough. God expects us to give him our very best to him. Amen? And then over in chapter 3, notice what it says. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me therewith, says the Lord of hosts, that if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out ye a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine be cast for fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Do you see what he's saying? By the way, there's two times that God opens up heaven. One is when we pray. You want the windows of heaven to open up? You start praying. Amen? You remember at the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there was a prayer, and literally heaven opened up, and what did he say? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. By the way, do you realize at the baptism there was a dove, symbolic of the Holy Spirit? There was the dove, there was Jesus himself, and God the Father from heaven. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were there. And he was saying, this, I'm opening up the windows of heaven. When you pray, I will open up those windows of heaven. But the second time I see in the Bible when God opens up the windows of heaven is when we give. And again, it isn't monetarily necessarily. It is when we give of ourselves, when we give of our time, when we give of our talents, when we give that which is our very best to God. Notice what he says. He says, prove me, says the Lord, that I will open up the windows of heaven and I will pour out a blessing on you that you will not have room to receive it. Wow. You say, do you believe that's true, Brother Jerry? I believe it's true. I believe it's true. Remember over there when Jesus is about to restore Peter in John 21? They're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. Remember it? You remember it. They had denied the Lord, and Peter denied the Lord, and all those guys forsook Jesus. Think about it. These ones that walked with him 3.5 years, they had seen this miracle. They had seen all the things he'd done. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration whenever Jesus was transfigured. And the ones who saw that, when it came time that God, things get difficult, he was about to die on the cross. He was dying on the cross. What did they do? They headed south. They said, hey, it's over. Let's go back to fishing. And the Lord shows up over there. They don't know it's the Lord. He says, throw your cast on the other side. The right side, throw it over there. Guess what? These professional fishermen, I imagine they thought that guy, they didn't know it was Jesus. They probably thought he was the stupidest guy they'd ever seen. We're professional fishermen. We know how to do this. And guess what? They listened. They threw their net on the other side, and the Bible records it. In fact, it makes it very clear to all of us who are fishermen, they caught 153 fish. Have you ever run a fisherman that caught 153 fish and they didn't tell you exactly how many they caught? They don't say, oh, we caught a few. Just a few. A few. If you caught 153 fish, I've seen some of you showed me a picture of you getting a deer. You'd say, oh, it was just a little bitty deer. No, Brother Jerry, it's a 10 point. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. But God restored them. But he asked the question here in Malachi. Will a man rob God? The question is personal. God's apparent problem that he had is God's people had taken that which belonged to him and they had kept it instead of giving it and they robbed God. Now none of us in this place that's ever been robbed like that. I remember a while back, our daughter and son-in-law, they got robbed there in Bonham. It might have helped if they would have set their alarm system. It might have helped if they would have locked the door. And I'm not being facetious. They didn't lock their door. And they didn't lock their door. And guess what? The thief just came in the back, took whatever they wanted to take. But they felt terrible about that. They said, that's the worst feeling. I'm going to tell you what. When we rob God, can you imagine how God feels towards us? Can you imagine? He tells us the question is personal. We need to understand. He says, you have robbed me. Well, the man robbed God. He says, yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. By the way, may I say something? 100% belongs to God. 100% of your time belongs to God. 100% of your talents belong to God. 100% of your money belongs to God. We're just to give 10%, a tithe back to him. Okay? That's all he asks is 10%. But yet we say, whoa, 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 I'm not going to let go of that. Well, I'm going to tell you what. you're going to let go of it one way or another. Because God's going to get his 10%. I can tell you that. He'll get his 10%. It might be in the way of a car repair. It might be in the way of your air conditioner breaking down. And by the way, I didn't rob God. My air conditioner went out recently. I want to make that very clear. But I told the story how this man fixed it in less than 30 minutes. He had to part on the truck. Now, that tells me God's in control. But listen to me, folks. He says, you have robbed me. Why? How have you robbed me? Through the tithes and offerings. Now, let me tell you the difference between a tithe and offering. A lot of people miss this. A tithe is giving 10% of all you have to God, okay? That's 10% of all you have. Now, I'm under conviction it ought to be 10% before they take anything out. Now, that's between you and God. Everybody does that differently. But I'm going to give 10% of my total income to God. Okay? 10%. An offering is above your tithe. And by the way, you're not supposed to take your tithe and give it to someone else saying, God will understand that. Oh, God will understand that I give my tithe to my children this month. God will understand to give my tithe to the Red Cross or to Billy Graham. By the way, my Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. I want to make very clear today, the storehouse is this place, the house of God. It is. If you want to give above and beyond your tithe, that's an offering. That's what we give to Lottie Room. That's what we give to Home Missions. That's what we give to these groups that come by and sing for us like last Sunday. We give above and beyond our tithe, folks. It's personal. We must be willing to give that which belongs to God, only 10% back to him. Think about that. He said, will a man rob God? Say, I don't rob God. Well, we do when we take that which belongs to him and use it for our own good. And I know my time's short. It's hard to preach a sermon like this in a short time, but I want to get to two or three things real quickly. And I want you to understand these things real quickly. First of all, I want us to understand that a tithe involves more than just money. It involves your time, your talents, your words, the gospel. Hello? Stewardship. We are to give an account one day for the stewardship of our family. Do you realize one day you're going to give accountability for what you've done with your family? Did you raise them up in the ways of God? You say, oh, well, that's the church's responsibility. I'm going to tell you what. We as the church, we have an Awana Club. We're going to train up children in the ways of God. But the primary responsibility of raising children is the father and the mother's responsibility, the grandparents' responsibility. Stewardship of our family. Our family is under attack. Husbands, you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, you're to be submissive unto your husband as unto the Lord. Husbands, you're to love your wife sacrificially. You're to give her your very best, husbands. Children are to honor their parents and to obey them. And parents are to teach them manners. What's happened to our world? How about the stewardship of the gospel? Let me ask you a question. How many did you share with this week about Jesus? And I'm not talking about you found them somewhere and you got them and you pulled them over side and you buttonholed them and you got all over them. You know, he said, you get saved or you're either gonna burn in hell or you're gonna get saved. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about loving people to Jesus. I'm talking about taking a tract and giving it to those people. A dear lady, when I was staying last weekend in a hotel over doing a retreat, she was so nice to me that night when I checked in, and God said, hey, how about sharing a tract with her? I said, Lord, I'll do it in the morning, and then I started getting convicted. I said, Lord, I sure hope she's there in the morning. And guess what? She was there the next day. And God led me to give that lady a tract. And she said, you know what? I appreciate this. I'm going to read this today. She was excited about getting it, folks. We're stewards of the gospel. If we don't share the gospel, who will? We have a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. How about our talents? Oh, every one of us are talented. Some can sing, some can teach, some can serve. All of us can do something. And I'm going to tell you what, you better be using your life for the Lord. The stewardship of that. Oh, if God would just lead us in that way. The Bible tells us, in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. It says in Proverbs 19, 17, the one who gives is gracious to the poor man, lends to the Lord, and he will repay him from the good deed that he has done. Throughout the Bible, we're commanded, listen to this one, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. They who pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over for your standard of measure, it will be measured for your return again. In other words, as you give, God will give to you. Oh, Lord, help us understand this principle of God's word. And I could talk about money, but you guys know what it takes. This church, it's amazing to me sometimes that people can think they can come to a church that's running electricity. They get a Sunday school book that somebody had to buy. They have a staff that someone takes care of. They have padded pews that someone bought. They have a ministering staff that's available to them 24/7. They have people who love and care for them. We have a family life center that we have a basketball league in January and February. We have our 1 o'clock on Wednesday night. We have all these things that God's given us, folks. Why? How do we take care of those things? We don't do it by just saying, well, let's do it. Hopefully enough comes in. No. It's by our tithes and our offerings. And by the way, I'm going to make very clear this morning, this church has done all of these things, and we only owe $53,000 is all we owe, folks. You know why we only owe $53,000? Because we've been faithful with that which God has given to us. He's been faithful to us. But then I want to talk lastly about our time. Time. 168 hours a week. Time with the Lord. How much time do you spend with the Lord? You invest your time with Him in your quiet time. How much time do you spend ministering to others? Or is it all about you? Well, to look beyond ourselves to others. By the way, have you ever discovered when you give your life to others, you get a greater blessing than you could ever get? Oh, when you go visit one of our shut-ins, Andrew and I got to go visit some of them this last week. One of them is 93 years old. Her mind's still sharp. Reba. And everybody that's ever been to Reba, you know you're going to get a greater blessing than you could ever give. We've been going through a book on Wednesday night with our men, and our ladies have been going through a book, and it's discovered about stewardship of time, and it reminds us that time is short, time is passing. The remaining time is uncertain. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And we're accountable to God for our time. Your time is now. Time's value is eternity. And God owns it all. And we must give our time to God. What would happen if every member of this church, think about this, man, I close with this. What would happen if every member of this church tithed their time to God? Whoa. By the way, 10% of 168, well, it's rounded up to 17 hours. How about that? 17 hours. That means that every member would probably start coming to all the services. Hello? Well, Brother Jerry, you don't understand. I've got my favorite programs on. Well, I'm surprised God hadn't broke that TV down yet. Well, I got to watch this. Oh, I got to watch this. I know now. I just started to learn about 3 months ago, how we can DVR, whatever that thing called? DVR things. About 8 months ago. We weren't into the world of DVR until about 8 months ago, folks. And I know some of y'all are looking at me like, oh, that's the guy right there, that guy. Yeah, people are looking for people like you. They want to sell you something. But I'm going to tell you what. You know what I discovered? You can record it and watch it later. And by the way, when you watch it later, it's faster the second time. Hello. How do you like that one? For you who hadn't figured that out, I figured that one out, by the way. You can do it faster. But think about it. What if every church member gave their time? What if every church member gave a tithe to God? Whoa. You know what happened? We'd have to elect about 4 more committees to decide what to do with all the extra money we had. You know what we start doing? We start giving money away to other people and other churches. Will we not? We'd have more than we know what to do with. The statistics say, and it's true, that 20% of the people in the church give 80% of the money. That's true. They have checked it through the years. What if every church member tithe their talents? God has gifted you in an area. We need some people to help drive a bus right now. We need some bus drivers. We have kids that want to come to church, but we need bus drivers to bring them. Someone's going to have to go out there, and the church will take care of it and get their license to be able to drive that bigger bus. But let me tell you what. Every time you bring children to church, if one of them gets saved, oh, what a joy it is. Amen. Because you've invested your time, we've invested in the gospel, we have invested our talent, and God puts all that together for His glory, church. And by the way, I discovered last week when the Blackwood Quartet was here, y'all could go till about 12:20. I'm pretty sharp there, folks. I was watching. Some of you are saying, gotta go to the bathroom now. No, but I'm gonna tell you, if we get a hold of this as a church, and if you come here very much, I'm gonna tell you, if you come here very much, I'm not a pastor who gets up every Sunday and says, if we don't take this much money in today, we're gonna close the doors. Because I'm gonna tell you what, we had a budget last year of $532,000. We took in $575,000. Thank the Lord, yes. And by the way, I discovered I don't have to beg people to give. God's the source, not us. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. It's His, not ours. And when we understand that, that's when God is going to take over at Lane Prairie, and we're going to be a blessing to so many others. We have been, by the way. Because of your giving, we've been able to help over 515 children this last year with school supplies, with a backpack, with a new pair of shoes, with groceries, with clothes. We're having Thanksgiving baskets coming up, and I believe because of our Good News Clubs, we're going to have more baskets, by the way. Listen to me. I believe we could do 150 baskets this year. And you think about, what could we do? Maybe you could donate enough money to buy a turkey or to buy something. Donate that above and our tithes. Our tithes would be an offering. And let me tell you what, God will honor that. Jesus says, if you give a cup of water in my name, that's when you will be who I am. Remember the one that says, Lord, when did we give a cup of water in your name? When did we visit you in prison? And when did we do this? You remember what the Lord said? He says, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Every time you put a dollar in the plate, you're doing it to the Lord. Thank God, I'm honoring you because you've honored me. I can't thank him enough for what he's done for me, folks. He's been good to me. Good to me. And I want to say today, I believe it's because we were faithful in what God's called us to give. Above and beyond. Let's bow. For some here today, you've come and you've heard, and the response you need today is you need to respond to the gospel. The good